Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Please take your seats if you can. There are two stories in the Bible that involved Jesus with some other people that I've never really stopped thinking about at any point in time. I hope you can hear me clearly. Huh? One of it is the story of that woman who was caught in adultery. The second is the story of the man in Luke chapter 7. Let me read. He said, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this." And I want you to please take note of that. "For he loveth our nation and has built us a synagogue." Then Jesus went with them. Please, just see the sequence. "And when he was not far from the house, the centurions sent friends to him, saying, 'Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to you. But say a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. Now, Jesus wasn't acting. He actually marveled. He was surprised. It was not... Oh, God. "And said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel." You see, we found it in some places, but not among the people we thought we would find it. We found genuine worship, but we didn't find it amongst the people we thought we would find it. We found it among some unexpected. "And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick." The first, I want you to understand that the guy that was sick didn't need faith. He didn't need faith. He was healed on the account of another man's response. He was touched by God on account of another man's response. Listen to me. Your faithfulness today to the Lord will count for your children. Scripture says, "The Lord has not asked the sons of Jacob to seek him in vain." Every time you come to God in spirit and in truth, and you open your heart and say, "God, this is who I am. I'm going to journey with you," you are not the only beneficiary. You are not the only beneficiary. Glory to God. The word Capernaum in verse 1, Capernaum, means disorder. Chaos. So you see, when he had ended all his sayings, that means to know these sayings, you need to go to chapter 6. But when he had ended all his sayings, when he had finished talking, so Jesus didn't preach to suit the people. He said his heart because that was the heart of God. Jesus is not one of those type of soaps that, yeah, no, I like. There's one soap in those days. Some of you may be young enough to know. We call it ST soap. Now, if you ever had your bout with ST soap, just wave. Praise God. I have my hands up already. Glory to God. That means you are not so young. You should be having grandchildren now. Okay, skip that. There's this soap, ST soap. The good thing about ST soap is that you can do everything with it. You can wash some clothes, you can bathe, you can wash plates, and then sometimes you just notice everywhere in the house is just smelling, reeking of ST soap. Well, I hope you know that soap doesn't exist no more. Every kingdom has its time. The fact that you have a good product don't mean nothing. If you stay where you are, they are going to shut you down. Ask BBM, BlackBerry, ask Nokia. They are trying to bounce back, but it's hard. Change from, is it Symbian, whatever it is, to they are now on Android, the old software. But they try to make that adjustment, but people still don't trust them. Because when you see that name, N-O-K-I, like, there's a way we know you. So Jesus is not one of those products where you just like, oh, you know, when I was in boarding school, we do ST soap. It was convenient for our parents. It was 10 naira. It was 10 naira. I know you're looking prim and proper right now. You carry your bags and it's just on one hand. But I know we all use the ST soap. We are all born into the disorder. Some of us didn't even get to have a regular conversation with our dad. So Jesus took his time to teach. Because at the base, at the foundation, the cement for every major advancement that God brings into your life is not what you want, it's God's word. God is so old. Do you know how many people are going to hell every day? It's not his decision, but people decided to go. So an extra person in hell will not shake him. Do you understand? Do you know that even this Satan that we are shouting and screaming about is not the same Satan that left heaven? It's not as powerful anymore. Oh, and I like the example one of our pastors gave. I'm not here. But I was listening to him and he mentioned, I said, oh, this is so powerful. When a person turns away from the Lord, there is nothing static in eternity. When you come to the Lord, you are journeying with him. God has never brought anybody to the cross and left them there, because even him didn't stay there. So we don't just preach the cross, we preach the throne. Are you hearing me? Because that's where he's seated. Until God's area, Jesus' area of judicial administration is on the throne. But you see, when a man journeys to the Lord, he's going straight up towards a journey, towards the Lord. That journey ends at his feet when you die. And he looks at your face and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And like I was sharing with the pastors this morning, when a man decides to worship God, it's his decision. The moment you decide to serve God, the options are taken away from you. God will now tell you how he wants you to serve him. That's the difference between children and sons. Sons wake up with the vision of their father's heart. Children wake up and say, mommy, can I have dessert? Mommy, what's for breakfast? Mommy, I don't want cornflakes today. Can I have oats? Those are children. So you don't need to look too far. Just check your appetite. You can tell your level. Give me back that scripture. So Jesus took his time in chapter 6 to lay a foundation for the word. And listen to me, you can never outword God. You can never overhear God's word. You can never over, because you see, you probably listen to the word of God like 1 hour a day if you are that good. Some of us do like 5 hours or 4 hours, sometimes 6 hours. I'm talking about myself now. 6 hours just sitting and allowing other people speak into you. Because you see, it's not just what you hear, it is the subliminal messages, those things that are coming into you unconsciously that are getting your attention and doing more damage. So you will see Jesus, he will start chapter, check how many verses does chapter 6 have, how many verses, just look through, maybe 30, 40, 50, 49, that is a summary. So you can imagine Jesus, he will teach, then take a seat and sit down and begin to teach. A sower went out to sow. You can't be in a hurry, because he won't tell you when the healing will start, so you have to stay. So after he had ended his sins, he entered into disorder. I say it's time now, they are ready, they've heard my word, we can step into that chaos now. If God attempts to step into the chaos before laying a solid foundation with cement, because we are going 10 stories, it's not a bungalow, it's not a one room apartment, we need a lot of cement, we need concrete. So he took his time to end his sayings, and then he entered into Capernaum. The experience in chapter 6 was the foundation for chapter 7. There is no lasting experience. There is no major move in your life that will ever amount to anything that is lasting until you have been immersed and plastered with the word of God. Secondly, God's power and authority is approved and sealed in his word. One of the challenges we have with the issue of the word of God is because it's now like in a book form. Everybody seems to have access to it. Listen to me. The fact that the book is open in front of you doesn't mean the spirit of the book is open to you. You certain things don't open. I want to ask you a question. If you put some rice on the fire and then you covered up the pot, and then you went to your room to pick something, and in 3 minutes you are out and went to the kitchen to do something else and saw the rice burning, will you eat that rice? You probably be like, something is happening. You know, it's either I'm in another realm, or this is like a Merlin. You know, like something is happening here. Something's happening here. Something's happening right now. You know, I put my rice on the fire, and in 3 minutes, oh my God, who has heard of these things? Shall a nation be born in one day? You are just like, praise God. And then you are even scared of eating it, because this is 3 minutes rice. So listen to me. The material things mirror the eternal. You want to get the best out of God, you got to sit down. You got to sit down. Don't let anybody deceive you. You can get a miracle now, but you want to keep your miracle, sit with the word. When Jesus came into chaos, when Jesus came into disorder, when he came into Capernaum, he met with a situation. There was a young man who was a servant. Now, does it occur to you that there were very few times in scripture where Jesus actually stood up to go to people's houses because of what they were going through? Most of the times, the people come to him. Do you understand? But there was a particular case of the Jairus, the ruler. He was a ruler, and his daughter fell sick and died. And Jesus went over there to raise the child. Now, listen to me. Don't get the impression God doesn't have time, but it's not busy. You understand? Most people bring their sick to his crusade, but there were a few times Jesus went to the people. I needed to study the different scenarios. But in this particular case, Jesus got up, left the people, and was going to that man's house. Number one, The man who sent the complaint said it was his servant. God has respect for servants because he's working. He's not eating, he's working. When he eats, it is for strength to go back to work. We should go to those ones. He said God resists the proud, but has regard for the humble. This is true Christianity. When God comes to town, when God comes to your house, have you noticed when you pray with some of your friends back there and God speaks to you and they tell you they didn't hear anything? One is a child, the other is a servant. This one is food he needs, this one needs instructions. Difference. So what do you want? What are you really praying about? When he came, that man so much regarded Jesus in this story that he sent the elders of the land first. You see, this guy was not a Israeli. This guy was not a child of God. This guy was not a citizen of that land. He was a centurion. I think they are Romans. Roman soldiers. But he understood the honor code. So he first sent the elders to them, to him. And when those ones came, they needed to say something that was really good. They said, actually, sir, this man loves our nation. He built us a temple. Where, you see this place? This place. 5,000 seater. We tried building one and the other side of the road. We didn't complete it. The man got us something in Lekki and Banana Island. So when they came, they needed to bring forth strong reasons for that man that was sick. The man that was sick didn't have access to the elders of the land. But because of the person that stood in front of him as his master, that is why it's very difficult to judge a man of God and escape. Because the Lord, God already told us, before me he stands or fall. Because when God called you the other day, you found an excuse and ran into Chevron. God called this one and he said, here I am, send me. Then you sit down without your small data and you are typing, I don't know what is wrong with these pastors, they are wearing chains. God. If you turn from today to tomorrow, it's only God that can keep him in active service. This guy didn't know Jesus. The guy that was sick didn't know Jesus. The elders of the land didn't know the servant. But there was an intermediary. Somebody who had both legs with the authority and had the servant himself. So when they came, they said, his servant. Jesus knows what that means. He's not servant on Facebook. They are really working. It's not, oh, Jesus, I love you on Facebook. Oh, you are so wonderful to me. What can I do without you? My lover, my sweetheart, you are the best thing that happened to me. And you're like, Michael, who was that? This is your son. Say your sweetheart. You say, check. It's her name in the book of life. Say, it's there. Yeah, okay. We'll pass. Do you know how many God hears and is asking? Okay, we'll pass. Just let it slide. So many of us greet God on Facebook. Glory. Look at this guy. The Bible said when the elders came, they brought forth strong reasons. Say he loveth our nation. The meaning of he loveth our nation is significant. Because what it means is that we cannot say the same for the sons of the land. Are you hearing me? There are rich men in that city who are Israeli born, who are sons of the soil. They didn't build a temple. So it was not just the temple. It was the fact that he loved our nation. His motivations were driven by love. So when they said he loved our nation, that means he has taken a position against the order of his own government. Are you hearing me now? When I was in the bank, there was a time they made a law, sir, and they said nobody should pray. When you come for your meeting, take the vision statement, take the mission statement, then go straight into the business study. I think you guys are praying now. When some people are making that kind of stupid decision, there's another bank with an S. How many banks do we have that start with S? Okay, so whichever one, go figure it out. They were building a cathedral, sorry, headquarter on the island. And the MD brought a guru from India to come and check where the headquarters should be, the location, where is it going to face the sun, or when you are here saying, don't pray. A smart MD went to India to get all those monks. Now can face that place, face the east. The architect said, this is impossible. The demography and the you're speaking grammar. So he said, no, he said, I said, the spiritual man of God said, I said, turn this building, because they've laid the foundation, he said, turn it around. Face this place. The guy says, it's not possible. We've wasted so much money. This is what we want to do. This was on the plan. He said, no. And both of them said, the MD put them there. Both the architect and the guru. So the architect got angry and went to the MD. I don't know this man. I don't know. He's not an architect. He's just saying we should. He said, go and listen to him. He said, go and listen to him. Change it. They brought everything down. Change the location. Say, because the cosmic powers must have I don't know what they say, but they need the powers to be seen in the office directly. So forget about your science. You are just an architect, you know. You do your work, but we tell you how we want it to be done. Eh? Because the spiritual superimposes the natural. So when God tells you, with spit on your face, go and wash your face. If you allow the spit on your face but you don't wash your face, you will not see. Call him stupid, he doesn't mind, but it's your eyes. It's your eyes. If he tells you come to church, roll on the rug. My brother, that instruction was for you. Don't worry about the pastor. You just obey. He said he loveth our nation. His motivations at any point in time is the love of God. And he did it without regard. And if you understand anything about the Roman Empire, they come into a place, they bring down your system of worship, they bring down your culture, they bring down your educational system and bring theirs. But there was a man who decided to go against the order of his own government. There was one other thing about that man I wanted to talk about. That centurion had capacity for faith. Look at verse 3. That man had capacity for faith, but his faith was ineffective. It lacked power. Verse 3. Because it had no object. What do I mean? What's going on? Verse 3. And when he had heard of Jesus, I'm reading verse 3. He sent unto him the elders. Look at what that scripture says. When he heard of Jesus. So the man had faith that it was possible that God could do something. But he didn't have a position to latch that faith to. But when he heard of who? Of Jesus. When he heard of Jesus. When he was introduced to Jesus. He believed. The Bible said, even though having not seen him, you believe. And Jesus also said, blessed are those who do not see, but they believe. The content and the weight of the word that you hear in your spirit and you believe brings God closer to you than the man in the temple. This guy was not born again. He had no citizenship in Israel. He was actually sent to bring down the pillars of Israel. But the Bible says when he heard of Jesus, something told him, this is your passport. If you ever you want to get out of this bondage, you need to go to this man. And then he sent the elders, because he knew that Jesus may not have given him audience. So he sent people who he felt had the ears of Jesus. And those ones came and they spoke to him. What have you heard of Jesus? What have you heard of Jesus? Maybe you heard that he's that man who is waiting to send you to hell. Jesus has never sent anybody to hell till date. Everybody you see in hell today signed up for it. Everybody, including Satan. God gave us light, but men chose darkness above light. God has never said, Fire is hungering me. Well, you, what's your name? Ismaila. Where? Fire. In fact, your name may be Ismaila or Mohammed, and your name will be in the book of life. And your name may be Jesuit. Jesuit Christ. Jesuit Christ. Jesus. I'm trying to look for a good combination. Your name could even be Bishop. Bishop Christ. You change your name from Ebohon to Christ. Udeme, you change your name from Juju de here. You change your name from Juju de here. You change it to Evangelist Christ. Because you have suddenly caught a vision on soul winning. But you are not born again. Your name will be written in capital letter in here. Meanwhile, a Muhammad Shekau. Muhammad Shekau. You can see the combination. Shekau. Emphasis on how. Will be in heaven. So it's not a name thing. There are people who think because they are coming to church every Sunday, they will go to heaven. They just think it's logical. But God didn't do philosophy of logic. You know, there's one course, general course in school, logic. Premise, your primary premise, second premise, then conclusion. So God doesn't know. He's hearing it from you. That is premise, first premise, second premise. He heard it from me. He has never heard it before. That guy had faith. The moment his faith came in contact with a power booster, the moment his faith came in contact with something that could give it life, then there was a miracle in that place. Those people didn't tell, those elders that went to Jesus, they didn't tell him, oh, this man is a man of faith. Because you see, the subject of faith is the subject of the heart. Nobody can see your faith by looking at your face. They can only see it by your actions. So they could only say the things they knew. This man built us a temple. This man loves our nation. That is the only thing that's the only way people in Africa know that their government is performing. Fuel price is low. $1 is now $1. Meanwhile, in advanced countries, they are redefining the educational space. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are making inventions. Here, if you ask people to assess the government, they will talk about how people are suffering. How the Uber price, now, you know, it just surge, you know, everything is surge. You know, everything is surge. Weddings are surge. Your boss is going bonkers because he just fought with his wife this morning before coming to work. And it's always about money. Money, space. I need my space. Surge. That's how he said he loves our nation. That means he's giving them welfare package. Oh, you don't know. He's doing something for them. Forget about that temple. He's doing something. When he crosses the main road, things are happening. Amen. Say he loveth our nation. For you to say that, you must be getting something. If you are not getting anything, we gave everybody palliatives. I didn't want to believe it or not. I didn't see nothing. Everybody. So this man really loves our nation. He actually says, he does what he says. But they didn't see his faith. They didn't see his faith. Listen to me. If Jesus had not stepped into that matter, that guy would have died. There are many people who have died this year that it was not in God's plan for them to be dead. If that guy just came, I'm the chief centurion of this area. If you ask them, they will tell you who I am. I'm respectful. I'm not a sinner. I pray three times a day. Not like this sinner. I know I'm righteous. I know. Because if I'm committing sin, I will know. I'm not like this sinner. You know, we don't say it, but somewhere in our mind, we think we are better than the next person. After all, you're a pastor. I hope you know there's no title pastor in the book of life. Like pastor. Except that's your real name. Listen, if you like, change your sexuality and change your name from Tunde to Cassandra. What the record they have of you in heaven is Tunde. If you give your life to Christ, there is still no Cassandra in heaven. So you better think about this thing very well. So that you won't have issue of mistaking identity when you get to heaven. Say, this is just who I am. I just believe this is who I am. You don't know who you are. You are a peacock. You're supposed to climb on the top of the building and jump down. The less know if you can fly. What am I saying? My time is up. What that guy required to reverse situations that were beyond redemption. Number one, the word of the Lord. Number two, faith. Number one, the word of the Lord. Number two, faith. When Jesus looks at you and he says, be it unto you according to your faith, his word has gone forth. When you hold that word and say, Lord, against every doctor's report and verdict, I believe, then a miracle happens. 2 weeks ago, I was praying over the internet with a family. There was a major crisis in that home, and somebody had developed advanced depression. Advanced depression is just a nice way of saying somebody is going mad. Are you with me? It's a nice way where doctors, you know, doctors respect your human rights. They don't like to always tell you what is wrong with you. That's why even when they write on that sheet, you can't read it. It's the person that will be you that will see it. But you will look at it. You know, you become more confused because you don't even know how serious the matter is. Yeah. This is the result, but you can't interpret it. They say it's a lymphomaniac. They tell you all kind of strange things. You just say, can I see the doctor? They say he has gone off duty. No, I need to see him. Is that, you are looking for the interpretation of that tongues. Listen to me. It is God's responsibility to release his word. It's your job to accept it with faith. I was praying with this family where they had a family member who had some psychological issues. So I told them, let's meet online. And then I had a prayer meeting with them. And I told them this night, this is around 1 a.m. I said, you all go to bed. When she wakes up in the morning, her mind will be fully restored. The person we were praying for was not in that meeting. Are you hearing me? The power of his word. You need to understand. This thing is not games. You see, anybody can open his mouth and talk against healing, talk against miracles, talk against the plan of God, talk against God's love. Every time God heals somebody, it is his love he's showing. Every time God helps somebody, they were going to fire him from the office and then a miracle happened. It is God's love reaching out to you. Please differentiate doctrine from love. God's love is who he is. His doctrine is what he represents on every issue. God's love is who he is. His doctrine is what he represents or stands on every issue. And then they called me the next day, maybe in the afternoon, and they said to me, do you believe she actually woke up and she called us and I'm up to now, she's still okay. The doctors came the next morning. Yeah. We want to run some psychiatric evaluation. There was nothing to find. Because the person they wanted to check was, doctor, good morning. Why are you the one who came yesterday? Okay, no. Where is the patient? Say, I'm the one. I'm the one. Hey, he says, you look okay. Say, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. They call the people in London. You look, she's okay. We are going. We are going. We, the money they wanted to make, took it away. Pocket it. Reversing the reversible. The doctor will come to you and say what he has to say and pump drugs into your system. I remember speaking to somebody last week. I said, oh, Pastor, do you remember that since 2 years that you've prayed for me now, I've not had a crisis in my health. The person is SS. Said, I go to the hospital. They check my blood. They still tell me I'm SS. But for the first time in 2 years, no crisis. No drugs. No supplement. God can take a particular condition, quarantine it. The thing, the doctors will be seeing it, but you'll be wondering what they are seeing. It's not there. But he sent his word. So every time you cry to God, God doesn't leave his seat. He sent his word. Go to 374 Ikorodu Road. One of my daughters there has asthma. Sort it out. He said, God, there's this severe pain in my back. And then God sends his word. And because God and his word are one, so when God sends his word, it's like he splits into two. So there is God standing here, and there is God on the seat, and then God takes a stroll. 374. That's what happens. Every time God sends his word, he has never come back to God and said, she's like, she moved out of that house. Like she's not. They said she fought with the landlord just yesterday. And the landlord gave her quick notice. There is nothing like that. There is, do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying to you that when God sends his word in your direction, his word has no respect for what somebody says. Somebody tried to make you feel like you are not good enough to be somebody's wife, or you cannot be married, or you cannot prosper. Who says it and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Every time God rules, he rules by utterance. Say the voice of the Lord. Is what? Is over many waters. Water of marital instability. Water of no vision. Water of academic problem. Water of over health. Everything that people have some scientific name for. He says voice is over many waters. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, stand to your feet, let me pray with you. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says when God came and saw the chaos that was upon the earth, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God began to over the face of the deep, over the face of the deep. And when he had created the room temperature, then he spoke a word and said, let there be light. 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 That's the word coming forth this morning. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Jesus. Lambro shala gadaba lakasata. Listen to me. I have just 1 minute. And I encourage all of us to stay for the second service, because I sense that I may need to just keep this tempo, and then maybe peradventure I may prophesy, but just stay with me. Many of you are missing your doctor's appointment. Your doctor is not that Dr. Tunji, Ade Tunji, Owolafe. That's not your doctor. There's a balm in Gilead. If you miss your appointment, it's not God's fault. Hear me. Your life and your destiny is not in the hands of a medical report. It's not in the hands of something somebody just wrote and signed. But do you believe?
The word of God says all things are possible to him who believes. Not to the pastor. To him who believes. Do you believe this morning? Then just like the prophet in Ezekiel chapter 37, prophesy to the dry bones. I stand under prophetic covering, and right now, by the voice of the Lord, I command the bones to begin to come back to the bones, sir. I command the bones to begin to come back together. Bone to bone, sinew to sinew, flesh to flesh. Bone to bone, sinew to sinew, flesh to flesh. Right now, everywhere your life has been scattered, we pull them back together. We pull them back together. We pull them back together. Come on, say, come back together. Come on, say, come back together. Come on, say, come back together. Bone to bone, sinew upon sinew, flesh upon flesh. Come on, say it again. Bone to bone, flesh to flesh, sinew upon sinew. One more time. Bone to bone, flesh to flesh, sinew upon sinew. I come to declare the counsel of the Lord upon your life right now. Let the mighty army of the Lord arise in this place. Let life come into this dead situation. Let life come into your jobs. Let life come into your life. Let life come into your career. Let life come into your marriage. Let life come into your family. Let life come into your ministry. Let life come. Life. Jesus said to that man in his vision, say, I choose life. And the man said, I choose life. And his heart started beating again. Now lift up your right hand and say, Father, I choose life. Say it with faith. Father, I choose life. Now say it with faith. Father, I choose life. What happens when life comes? It takes away cancer. It takes away setbacks. I remember that woman in South Africa who called me just before going in for a second check with the doctors. They are taking off one part of her body, and then the thing moved, the cancer moved to the other part, and that's when she called. And she was calling me for the first time. I didn't know her. And then I prayed with her over the phone. I was inside Unila campus. Can I even shock you? That morning I forgot to pray. But you see the tender mercies of the Lord. Miracles don't happen because of you. They happen because of who God is. And then she called me. She sent me a message the next day. She said, Pastor, the results of the tests are out. They can't find the cancer anymore. The thing was there when she went for the test. But after the test came out, the doctors couldn't find it. And she had been hospitalized for months. She's back in Nigeria. She's doing ministry. And I've still not seen her with my face. The power of God can ride through the airwaves and go all the way from Nigeria to South Africa, to London, to New Zealand. Your address is not far enough. Like Jesus spoke over many that he ministered to, so I say to you, whatever has stood in your path, whatever has hindered you, in the name of him who died and rose again, the name Jesus Christ, our risen God, every uncomfortable situation is now reversed. It's now reversed. It's now reversed. It's now reversed. And today, not tomorrow, today, you will testify. Because Jesus says so, to the praise and glory of his name, in Jesus' mighty name.